heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily podcast on the Phoenix Suns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, Evan Sidery, as always, joined by co-host Yusuf Salima, Brightside of the Sun. Yusuf, how are you doing today?
Doing good. How are you, Evan?
Doing well. The Suns came off a 132-130 loss last night. It was more like a track meet compared to an actual basketball game last night, and as far as the pace goes. You just want to get your initial thoughts on what you saw last night. And really, with the Suns, they've allowed 256 points in the first two games, which has to be some sort, or even close to some sort of record, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're an historically bad defensive team through the first two games. I think everyone knows that. But, I mean, the Lakers are horrible defensively as well. So that's why you would be surprised that they only lost by 2 points. TJ Warren makes a couple of free throws. They probably pulled that game out in overtime. But, I mean, defensively, obviously in pick and roll defense against Lonzo Ball, you have to contain him. He's not that great in pick and roll. I mean, he's made some improvements since UCLA, but at the end of the day, I don't know if just going back through the film right now, I think a lot of their focus was to not allow middle penetration considering how bad their 3-point defense is. So fundamentally, you don't want to allow middle penetration. That was something with Tyson Chandler and Bless. None of them were on the same page communicating as whether to, I mean, they were trying to ice him, but then Chandler was out of position because when you're trying to ice, you just want two guys. The whole point of icing pick and roll is so you only have two guys defending the action, but Chandler was just out of position on most of those pick and rolls, and that's usable because that's just basic pick and roll.
Yeah, I wanted to talk also about, I saw Bledsoe and also Booker do this as well multiple times. Really, Bledsoe was torched by Lonzo at the first three quarters of that game as far as offense goes, really in the last 3 minutes too. And Chandler was really struggling as far as pick and roll defense goes. I wanted to pull out a quote real quick from the post-game press conference last night from Earl Watts. And he said about Lonzo Ball and their overall three-point defense, honestly, they just shot the ball well. They have really unique players. I thought Kuzma stands out for himself and Lonzo. You know Lonzo is tricky. You go over the top, he's quick enough to make plays in the paint. You go under today, he shot the ball well from there. Before coming into tonight, he shot 20%, 25%, maybe even 23% from the three-point line. So he made three-point shots off the dribble. So if he masters that, he's going to be very difficult to guard for the future, if not now. And also during that game, I noticed that with Bledsoe and the guards, that they're going really, really, really far under those screens. Did you notice that as well? And like, what stood out about that? Because they really let Lonzo have 5 feet of separation on almost every single shot I took from beyond the arc.
Yeah, I think the first three Lonzo hit on Mike James when they went under. I tweeted right then during the game. I was like, how do you guys think they should defend him? And then Earl actually talked to Mike James right after that three. And I think that was their game plan, was to go under on all the screens and make him hit shots. Especially based on what he said in the post-game conference, it's pretty evident that they wanted to go under and make him a shooter. And that obviously didn't work. And like Watson said, once he makes shots, he's just so tough to contain because he's a really smart guy. Like he knows exactly where to go with the ball. So it's tough when he's making shots like that. But at the end of the day, defensively, a lot of it was just poor effort and then poor just fundamentally, like helping one pass away, not being in the right position. Jackson was out of position a couple times. Jackson was out of position a couple times on the offensive end as well. So it has to get frustrating for the overall team, I would think.
As far as defense goes for Bledsoe and Chandler, I wanted to talk to you about that real quick. As we said, for the first three quarters, Lonzo was pretty much going by Bledsoe almost every time. I don't know if the effort was there for Eric last night or not, but Chandler looks like the age has come back to him pretty fast now. He can't really guard a simple pick and roll that much anymore. Because Lonzo, through those last couple minutes, had easy attempts at the rim. And we saw Bender and Chandler close out of the game. So, and Dragan Bender was the best defender. So do you think Bender deserves more playing time over a guy like Tyson Chandler already?
Yeah, for sure. I think their best defensive unit is definitely the Alex. I think we talked about it on the last time we were on, was Alex, Landeskog, Bender. That's your best defensive lineup, and you have to throw that out there. Who do you think's better right now, just in general, Alex Len or Tyson Chandler?
Honestly, Alex Len, because even though he didn't do much last night, he showed that he was a capable defender, unlike Chandler, who really off one simple hesitation from Lonzo, he was torched. He was left in the dust almost 5 feet in front of the basket. So
yeah, so I think you have to think about starting Alex Len, and then eventually you want to have Len and Bender out there in the key stretches towards the end of the game. They have Bender out there at the end of the game, and then the Lakers obviously stayed away from him in pick and roll. That one clip where Lonzo just completely torched Tyson Chandler, I thought Dragan could have helped and shown a little bit more and then still recovered, because that's Bender's value as well. It's not just switching on pick and rolls. It's the idea that he can break the fundamental rule of basketball of helping one pass away and still recovering to the baseline, something you see a lot with Draymond Green and makes the Warriors so tough to score on. So that clip, I think they're going to have Dragan. If the Lakers, again, stay away from Bender and pick and roll, which makes sense because you don't want him to switch onto Lonzo because he's your best pick and roll defender, you would want Dragan to still help and help one pass away and then be able to recover using his unique length and just defensive ability.
From what we saw with Lonzo in his first game against Patrick Beverly with the Clippers, Beverly was hunting him up and down the floor 94 feet. And I thought we were going to see the same thing from either Josh Jackson or Eric Bledsoe. Was that surprising to you not to see any sort of aggression towards Lonzo?
Yeah, for sure. Considering Earl Watson is big on being the aggressors, hitting first, punching first. Even if it's not Lonzo Ball, last year they would pick up 94 feet. I was actually surprised he didn't bring Ulis into the game, considering he's a feisty defender. And he's the kind of guy that would give Lonzo some problems picking him up 94 feet, kind of like Patrick Beverly. So what do you think of Ulis not playing last night?
I saw Ulis was on the injury report for a quad contusion, but I don't know if that happened during practice or in last game, but he seemed rather fine when I saw him in the locker room. But it's definitely something to watch, because Mike James continues to be a spark off that bench, and really he helped lead them back at some points during that game. So is Mike James kind of talking him or showing himself into a rotation spot already?
Yeah, I think if Mike James is going to get a rotation spot, it's to surpass Tyler Ulis, because you're not going to run Ulis and James on the floor at the same time. I mean, you can run it, but it's not going to work at most of their in the system. Like I said last time, they tried running Brandon Knight last year, and he's just too small. You can't come off the flare screens and score. So I liked how they kept away from Ulis and James this time and kind of went bigger. Troy Daniels really didn't play as much, so that's what they have to keep up with. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to defensively. And with a younger unit, I think what they have to understand is you're not magically going to get 10 points better defensively in 48 hours, in a week, or even a month. But what you can do is get 2 points better every month. So 4 to 5 months from now, you have something. You're 8 points better, you're 10 points better. But sometimes with a younger team, it's harder to understand that concept. I think James Jones touched on that a little bit in the preseason, how he wants them to understand that and come in and focus on their defense and understand that it's not going to be a one-month fix. You can't get 10 points better in a month, but you can get 2 points better. So 5 months from now, you have something there, and that comes with patience.
Another thing we saw last night was Devin Booker's offensive progression. The first two games and through preseason, we've seen Devin Booker take the lion's share of reps as far as initiating the offense. Is this sort of Booker's transition we're starting to see now, where he's starting to go into a James Harden-type role, more of a well-rounded thing? Because I talked to Devin about this last night, and he said this was his game plan this year. He wants to show off a little wrinkles of some more wrinkles of his game as far as playmaking and rebounding and all that stuff goes. And he said that's one of his main focuses right now. So do you think Booker's kind of finding himself as far as a playmaker goes?
Yeah, I think he's always had that playmaking ability, natural feel and vision. If you just watch, that's what he was in high school at Moss Point, was a James Harden type of player. So eventually that's going to translate to the NBA level. But I think what Book has to focus on most is the rebounding, because if he wants to personally be like an MVP type of player, he's going to have to get on the boards and pad his stats a little bit, kind of like Harden does. So that's his next progression is rebounding. He's going to get the assists once the rebounding goes up. But what makes him such a good playmaker in general is just his ability to keep defenders on his hip, his patient reads. You saw that a lot last night with how the lob passes to Tyson Chandler. He's always had the patience and the reads. He just has it.
Yeah, totally. I think that we're going to definitely see a lot more progressions from Booker this year, and I think it's going to be coming a lot more into effect around the trade deadline if they continue to shop Bledsoe as I expect them to. But overall, we saw a performance from Dragan Bender last night, probably his best performance so far as a Phoenix Sun, I'd say. Even though it was only two shots in 19 minutes, he had 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks, plus 17 in those 19 minutes. Helped the Suns get their first lead of the game in the third quarter. Yusuf, what was your thoughts on how Dragan Bender played?
Well, I don't think it was his best game as a Sun, but because I kind of expect that defensive performance from him every night. So I just think that he can do so much more on the floor than just, like we talked about it last time, was you don't want him just taking 10 threes a game. Like, I understand the whole, like, you don't want him to hesitate shooting a three. You want him to not think about it, but he has to do other things, get his assist numbers up. They have to get him into the high post, get him to the elbows. That's my biggest thing right now, just through the preseason and through the first two games of the season, is their offense. They're not getting into the elbows enough. It's just their motion concepts, and that's why they're struggling, and they can't execute in the, you can't execute in the half court running those all the time.
Yeah, during the game last night, I believe it was either late third quarter, early fourth quarter, when Dragan Bender had a really great sequence. He was guarding Lonzo Ball one-on-one. Ball isolated him out in the perimeter, and he stuck with him all the way there and blocked him at the rim. Then the next offensive possession, Booker pushes it up and finds Bender across the court for a three right in Lopez's face, and he was showing a little emotion there to the Watson there. So I think Bender's starting to get a little more comfortable with himself, so that's a really good thing to see. And I think Bender should see at least 25 minutes a game. So, and I'm looking at the rotations right now. We saw Troy Daniels only get 3 minutes last night. Saw Mike James get 22, Len 21. Marquese Chris had 18 points. How do you see these rotations shaking out? Do you think Earl's still experimenting with these guys right now?
Yeah, for sure. I think they don't, like I said, they don't have another big guard aside from Devin Booker and Josh Jackson, so it's harder for them to, they run thumb up all the time, so you can't have, Daniels can't come off and score in wing isolation. He can't really run a pick and roll, so you have to have Booker on the floor, Warren on the floor, Jackson on the floor to have a scoring punch. I think they saw that after the first game, so in terms of the rotations, I really just want to see Bender and Len on the floor together, because you have that's their first priorities on the defensive end. The offense will come if you can get stops. So you got to have Bender and Len on the floor as much as possible.
No, yeah, I agree with her there. Marquese Chris had 18 minutes last night. He had 6 points and 3 blocks. He seemed a lot more active. And from what Watson said to the media before the game, he said he took Marquese Chris out to dinner because he was pretty frustrated about his role, and they talked it over. He said, "I love you" and stuff, just like Watson has been talking about player development. And he seemed a lot more fired up for last night's game. What do you think about Chris's performance?
Yeah, I think Chris, yeah, I mean, he played with a lot more energy tonight. And if you're Marquese Chris and you're that athletic, all you literally have to do is run the floor and play hard, and you'll end up with 18 points just like that, right? But tonight's actually, I don't know if we're going to get into the Clippers game, but tonight's going to be a bigger game for him, considering Patrick Beverley is going to take Booker out of it a little bit. So I started tweeting a little bit about it right now before we got on, but Marquese Chris should have some chances to score tonight, and I hope he capitalizes on the opportunity.
Before we dive into the Clippers real quick, I wanted to touch on Josh Jackson's performance last night. He only played 23 minutes. He was 4 of 10, 2 of 4 from 3, minus 10 on the floor, 12 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists. And a lot of times I noticed in the court was Jackson was just planted in the corner most of the time on offense. It seems like Earl doesn't really know how to use Jackson yet, because he's one of the best playmakers on their team already, I believe, from what I've seen at Kansas. So, and he was not even out there at all in crunch time compared to, they had a lineup of Bender, Chandler, Booker, Warren, and Bledsoe closing out the game. So how do you see Jackson doing, or how do you see Jack's performance last night, and how do you think Watson should use him?
Well, yeah, you're right. They really haven't been running a ton of sets for him. The 1-3 he got was a pistol flare set they run in early offense. He kind of got lucky there because Ingram slipped, so he got free. But I thought Earl Watson was pretty frustrated with Josh Jackson. I wasn't at the game, but just listening on TV, there was one instance there early in the game where they were running a zipper counter set. So Earl Watson, that's his thing coming from the Spurs organization, is that he has some of the best zipper counter sets in the NBA. So you have to be able to execute it and get the timing down. So a zipper cut is pretty much just they have Booker pretty much under the his own basket, but he's facing to the opposite basket, so he's facing away from his own basket, and it's just a down screen. So what teams do is they'll front Booker and they'll really overplay him, forcing a ball reversal. So what Jackson has to do is he has to clear out to the weak side so they can run a curl on the opposite side for Booker. And Jackson, he was just lost for like 3 seconds, and you could hear Earl just screaming at him, weak side, weak side, weak side. And then the Lakers came down and got a bucket, and they called timeout, and you can see Jay Triano was on him and everyone was on him, because actually his first NBA bucket, he had the three in the corner. Yeah. He was out of position on that one as well. He was supposed to clear out, but they got away with it on that one. But I'm sure they got on him in practice in the video session, like, you have to clear out at the right time, and then he comes back in the first quarter the next time you run it and he doesn't clear out. I mean, that has to get frustrating for the coaching staff.
Let's dive into this Clippers preview real quick. The Clippers, they destroyed the Lakers in their first game of the season. Now they're coming in tonight facing a Suns team who's 0-2. How do you see this playing out for the Suns? Do you think it's going to be like the Portland game on Wednesday? Because I don't know who's going to really match up against Blake Griffin, because in that first game he really looked like his old self.
Yeah, I mean, they're having Blake Griffin kind of handle the ball a little bit more. They've always struggled guarding Blake Griffin one-on-one in the post. So defensively, yeah, you're probably going to have the same problems. Like I said, you're not going to get better like in 24 hours unless your effort picks up. Because even last night when they had max effort, they had good defensive stops. But coming on a back-to-back, I mean, it's tough to play with max effort. So yeah, defensively, I would expect the struggles to continue a little bit. I think they're going to get a little bit better naturally, but defensively, the struggles are going to continue. And then on the offensive end, like I said, Marquese Chris has to provide a post option with Beverly tonight, because Patrick Beverly, in my opinion, is the best on-ball defender in the league, and he's always cause problems for Earl Watson in their motion sets. Like, there's times where he'll literally put his thumb up before Bledsoe does. That's just how good he is. So what ends up happening is Marquese Chris or whoever is the five gets a bunch of chances to score. So Marquese Chris is gonna have to go to work tonight.
Yeah, I definitely think going against a combo like Griffin and Jordan, I think we're gonna be seeing a lot of Len and Bender together, which is a good thing. But also, I think we're going to see a lot of Chris and Bender together, which we need to start seeing, because they were both top 10 picks in the 2016 draft. Is there any sort of rotation you would throw out there against the Clippers tonight that you think would have a lot of success that we haven't seen?
I think their best rotation against the Clippers tonight would just be Bledsoe, Booker, Warren, and Len and Bender. So, because you have to get bigger. You can't continue, because they're just so bad defensively. And Dragan Bender is your best defensive player. Alex Len's your best rim protector. I mean, it gives you something. I mean, you're not going to give up 100 points through the first three quarters if you play those guys more.
Before we end this episode today, I wanted to get you can go first, Yusuf, and I'll go last. Your three keys for tonight's game, if you have any, as far as the Suns go, and how do you think the Suns match up as far as the Clippers go?
Yeah, so I think my first key, like we've talked about right here, is Marquese Chris. I'm looking for a big game for him. I don't know how many minutes Watson's going to give him. I would expect him to give him some minutes on. So give him some more minutes tonight, considering that they understand that he's going to need a post option with Beverly on Booker. And then I would expect Alex Len, the whole Landon Bender, that lineup combo, that's the key to the game. And then just trying to contain Blake Griffin as much as you can. Make trap him in the post, make someone else beat you other than Blake Griffin.
For that last point there with Blake Griffin, I completely agree with you. I think he's the main key to the game as far as the Suns go. I want to see an active Jackson, an active Warren, an active Chandler on a defensive end. They need to show some sort of effort on defense. The defense after allowing 256 points in the first two games. That's just not a good thing to see at all. So, and my second thing is with Devin Booker, I want to see more of what I saw last night with Devin Booker. I want to see 20, because that what I saw last night was very good to see. That's a very good progression with Devin. I want to keep seeing it because overall, I like Devin on ball a lot compared to off ball. And really, he's shown so far he's one of the better initiators on this team, even compared to Bledsoe, right?
Yeah, that comes with that. A lot of that comes with just the rebounding. He has to get in there and rebound the basketball. So, yeah, he's definitely a better player than Eric Bledsoe right now, better playmaker than Eric Bledsoe. So, I hope Booker continues to rebound the basketball, because what it actually ends up doing is he's more focused this year on shooting transition threes, because that gets him into a rhythm in the game. Mm-hmm. So just in general this season, I expect him to rebound and then bring it up with a two dribble rhythm. You can tell, I was actually just watching a lot of his pickup games, and he's trying to play a little bit like that, try to play a little pickup basketball where he gets in there and rebounds and then just brings it up and shoots a transition three. And that just opens up so much more for him.
I definitely agree with you there. And my final key for tonight's game is seeing at least 25 to 30 minutes for Dragan Bender, as we mentioned. I think Bender has proven himself to this point, even though it's been two games. He's shown the most effort on both ends as far as defense goes. And I want to see Dragan at least get some consistent minutes, even though Marquese Chris seems to be favored right now. But overall, I think we're going to see a very good game tonight, even though it's on a back-to-back for the Suns. So, thanks for joining me again, Yusuf, and I hope to see you again sometime this weekend, and we'll talk some more Suns basketball.
Yeah.